Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Glad you're here this morning. We're continuing in our series about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And you know that passage in John that we've read, chapter 4, where Jesus said, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And we're trying to discover what that means for us this morning. And we've been looking at this idea of when we do worship in spirit and truth, what we discover about God. And I've got three more things I want to add to the things we've already been talking about. But let's read Psalm 23. It's kind of our platform for building this message. It's a beautiful psalm of worship and praise and thanks, and we all know it. So let's read it out loud together if we could, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. So three things, and this would be point number 10 if you're keeping up with these in the list. But we discover when we worship God, we discover his providence. His providence. Maybe it's a word you're not used to using, but my definition of it is a benevolent protective care from God. A benevolent protective care from God. In verse 5 it says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Now, he's using shepherding terms here. And so what does it mean to anoint a head with oil? Well, if you were a shepherd and you had sheep, a sheep can't scratch his head. You know, if you got a cat, they can scratch their head, and got a dog, they can scratch their head, you know. But a sheep just sits there and it can't scratch his head. And what happens is bugs get in the head, and they flies and things lay eggs. And so the head, this anointed part, is kind of how we look at the anointed head. But the head gets all these bugs in it, and it drives the sheep crazy. And so the sheep just runs off and runs into a wall or brick or a tree or, you know, something like, because it's feeling crazy. If you've ever had a really itchy scalp, you know how it is to scratch, right? And so the shepherd would take oil, right, and he would rub it into the sheep's head, and it would kill off all the bugs so the sheep could be at peace, right? So, you know, today, what's going on in your brain, right? You know, Debbie and I have done a lot of marriage enrichment retreats, and one of the images that we show is the difference in a man's brain and a woman's brain, right? And so the woman's brain, you got this, you know, like the front of a radio, picture that. You got all these knobs and switches and lights lighting up, and, you know, you have to push the right one at the right time, and there's like 25 or 30 things going on at one time, right? A man's brain, it's got the same image right here, except it's got one switch, on, off. Amen? Or oh me, right? Amen, or oh me. So some of you right now, your brain's just all lit up with everything going on in your life, right? You know, jobs, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, kids, grandkids, grandparents. Just all these things that go on in our brain, right? And God wants to come and say, let me anoint you with oil so that you can not be troubled by what's going on in your brain. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what this anointing is for us, right? That's the image for us, is the Holy Spirit comes in and says, let me rule and reign over your life, like the song that we sang. Let me be the peace in your life. Jesus says, I am peace. Let me give you my peace. Let me give you my joy in this. So we find this benevolent, protective nature of God. As we worship, we discover that he really wants us to have peace. He really wants us to have joy and satisfaction in this life. And he comes and anoints us, right, with the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. He says, my cup overflows. In other words, I'm not thirsty anymore. I'm not thirsty. My cup overflows. Every time I think I'm thirsty, I drink, and God satisfies me. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? He said, if you'll drink water from me, you'll never thirst again. Isn't that what he said? And then he goes on to talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalm 31:19, how great is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who worship you. Psalm 18:35, your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Now I'm going to read that one again, because this will minister to you. Psalm 18:35, your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Isn't that beautiful? Right? He reigns above it all, as we just sang, but yet he stoops down to make you great, right? With this providence, this benevolent protection of God, he says, I'm stooping down into your life. You can't get away from me. Isaiah 46:4, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. Philippians, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, right? And how much more shall the heavenly Father give to those who ask? You earthly fathers know how to give good things to your children, he said. But how much more shall the heavenly Father give to those who ask of him, the Holy Spirit? As we worship in spirit and truth, we discover that God anoints us. He anoints our head. Our cup overflows. His goodness is with us. Second thing we discover this morning, which would be point number 11 in your list, is we discover his persistence. When I was a teenager, some of your age, 14, 15, I started attending a church, a Pine Forest Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. And Miss Ross was my Sunday school teacher. Now, as a 14, 15-year-old, I thought she's maybe 100 years old, right? You know how you look and you go. Most persistent Sunday school teacher I ever sat under. If I missed a Sunday, I got a phone call, right? Or a card in the mail that week. We missed you this week. Every week she would call to try to find out where I was and was I okay. You know what? That made me want to show up the next week, and I did. She was so persistent in my life. Have you ever had someone in your life that's that persistent? They chase after you and they try to guide you in the right path. Well, when we worship God in spirit and in truth, we discover his persistence. He says, your goodness and your love will follow me, right? Your goodness and your love will follow me. So when we think about that, think about a shepherd, right? He's leading the sheep. The shepherd's leading the sheep. But God is not satisfied with just leading the sheep. He wants to make sure the sheep don't go off on the wrong path. So he lets goodness and mercy follow us. Think about sheepdogs, right? Think about sheepdogs. What's the purpose of a sheepdog? They follow behind the herd, and if a sheep goes off, they run back and say, you're in the wrong path. Get back on this path. And they chase him back, and they chase him back. And they're always keeping the sheep moving toward the shepherd because basically sheep are dumb, right? Amen. Sheep are just dumb. The shepherd's in front of them. They go, okay, who's that dude again? We're supposed to follow him. Ooh, that looks good over there. Let's follow. Ooh, squirrel, let's go over here. Right? We're like that too, aren't we? Man, we get so focused on God. We come to church. We get focused. We're singing some songs. And we walk out and go, ooh, I like that over there. Ooh, I like that over there. Right? Ooh. It is true. Bing, squirrels everywhere. And so God puts the sheepdog behind us of goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life, because he knows it's going to take all the days of our life before we meet him face to face. We're going to continue to go off here and go off there. God knows we're frail. He knows we're made of dust. He knows that we do see squirrels. He knows that, right? He's been knowing that for thousands of years. But in his persistence, he says, I'm not going to let you go astray. I know I've told you about my favorite meme. I've just got to say it again because I laugh out loud when I look at it in my brain. But this little shepherd boy is going to get rescue a sheep, and they dug this trench that we're going to put sewer lines in, right? Deep ditch about this deep, you know, and you see the pipes laying out that hadn't been put in yet. And the sheep, what you see in the first part of the meme is the back end of the sheep, and his head's down the ditch, right? And so the shepherd boy wrestles and wrestles and wrestles, and finally gets him up on the side and sets him out. And the sheep goes, and he goes, doing, 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 whoosh, right back in the trench. See his hind end sticking back up, and the shepherd shaking his head like, not again, not again. God looks at Jim and says, I need to put a couple of sheepdog behind him, keep him on track. Goodness, mercy, y'all follow Jim. He's going to need it. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 1, verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He's keeping me on the narrow path because I'm prone to stray to the wide road that leads to destruction. We all are. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, Psalm 103:17 says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who worship him. Isn't that great? From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who worship him. Psalm 3:3, you bestow glory on me and you lift up my head. Are any of you downtrodden this morning? Head's kind of sunk down and something didn't go right. Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. You need to know that the Lord will bestow glory back to you, and he will lift up your head. Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12, you surround me with your favor as with a shield. Psalm 27, 5, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Psalm 31, 23, the Lord preserves the faithful. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me with songs of deliverance. God's going to have the choir of angels or somebody break out in song. He's going to surround us with songs of deliverance, and the songs are going to lead us into deliverance, right? Psalm 32:10, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him and who worships him. Let me read that again. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him and worships him. Psalm 139, you all know this, but I want to read a few verses out of this. Psalm 139, verse 7. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He's got a sheepdog behind you, right? You try to go over here. Yep, 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 yep. That dog's right there. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Y'all got a sheepdog. He stays around you all the time. You've told me the stories. He's always around your ankles trying to herd you and make you go in a certain direction, right? You understand what this means. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle to the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Listen, you can't even hide in the darkest recesses of your mind. You cannot hide in the darkest things you've ever done in your life. You cannot hide in the darkness of thinking God will never see you, because he will find you out. He will search you down. He is persistent. He will not stop. He will not give up. He will not cease looking for you, ever. Ever. Why? Because he loves you. Yes, and he loves you too. Sure does. She is precious. You are precious. Persistent God. And then the third thing this morning, we discover, as we worship him in spirit and in truth, we discover his paradise. His paradise. You know, back in the day, when I was growing up in church at 14 and 15, we sang songs about heaven all the time. When we all get to heaven. Right? Right? Remember those songs? You don't know that one? Oh, you do know that one. Okay. All those songs we sing, we don't sing songs about heaven anymore. Choruses, don't sing a lot of them, but we used to sing the promise that there was a heaven, the promise that there was something beyond this life, this life that we're living now that just seemed not to be fully connected to what we really are and who we are. It just wasn't part of our original design. We weren't really designed to live in this life very long, right? We have a born on date and a die on date, but we knew there was more, and we sang the songs about heaven because we knew there was more. The psalmist cries out and he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever and ever." Right? His paradise. We discover his paradise. In John chapter 14, you know that passage. Jesus says that he's going to prepare a place for us. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also. Because in my Father's house are many
mansions,
many rooms," depending on how you, which scripture you use. But in other words, there's a lot of places where God is that we can stay, right? I've got a room for everybody. I got a mansion for everybody. I got a house for everybody, right? We discover his paradise as we worship in spirit and truth, and we realize this is not home. Where you are right now, this is not home. The reason you have longings that you can't put your finger on, you can't identify, is because this is not home. There's a home we're going to, right? That's the longing that's drawing us. And the longer you worship in spirit and truth, the longer you're a Christian, the more you long to be there and not here. You realize you got work to do here, right? And we're going to do that work. But our longing is there. Paul said, "I long to be there. I'm present here, but I long to be there." Right? Luke 23:43. Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and said, "Today you will be with me in my paradise." Not in the paradise or a paradise. Jesus said, "You're going to be in my paradise." Right? Now, when we look at God's creation, see how beautiful it is. Natural creation, right? Not all these buildings that we have to go to from time to time. But when we look at it within, that's amazing. That's just absolutely amazing. But think about what paradise is going to be. God made this. Think about what he's making beyond this. He's creating a new heaven and a new earth beyond what we can even imagine. Why? Because he loves us. He wants us to live in his paradise. He wants us to be with him in his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, where Paul says, he says, "I know a man," he's talking about himself, he's trying to be discreet. He says, "I know a man who was caught up into the third heaven." You saw it back there. He was caught up into third heaven. He said, "And I saw things I can't even talk about. It was so amazing." And if you've ever read Near-Death Experiences, right? I've got a book that I read through several years back where somebody had compiled near-death experiences. It's amazing what people see. Even with a near-death experience, they come back to life, they tell the story. We know Isaiah in chapter 6 said, "I looked up and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train filled his temple, and it was filled with smoke, and there were angels flying all around, and they were singing, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.'" Right? We know the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John went up the mountain with Jesus, and all of a sudden the heaven opened right in front of them. They were 600 feet elevation. It wasn't a very tall mountain. And the heavens opened in front of them, and you got Moses and Elijah having a conversation with Jesus. I wonder what they were talking about, right? Having a conversation. Jesus said, "Moses, what did you think about the Red Sea? Man, that was awesome, God. Can we do that again? That was fun," right? What were they talking about? Peter, James, and John were in such awe, they said, "Let's build some houses and stay here. This is a great place." We've seen in the Bible, we see a glimpse of it. Revelation 2, verse 7, "I will give the right to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God." Psalm 122:1, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And the psalmist cried out in Psalm 84:10, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than anywhere else I know." Right? If I can just be a doorkeeper that close to God, it's good. Jesus said, "My house is to be a house of prayer for all nations." When we think about God, we think about how well planned our life really is. He reigns above it all. He does. And we have a plan, we have a purpose, we have a paradise that we're going to. His paradise that he's made for us. But that's only for people who are trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for their salvation. Are you trusting in Jesus? In him only this morning? Are you trusting in Jesus? If not, and you want to find out more about that, when we conclude this morning, come see me. I'll be right here, and I'll tell you more about Jesus. Right? If you are trusting in Jesus, then I encourage you to worship him in spirit and in truth today, tomorrow, and all week long. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great passage of Scripture that we've looked at for several weeks now. Father, we do want to try to worship you in spirit and truth with all that's within us. And so we say, here's our offering. Jesus, we say thank you that we can worship in spirit and in truth. You made it possible for us to worship our Heavenly Father and to give thanks to him for all things. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher and our guide, that you want us to worship in spirit and truth, that you lead us to worship in spirit and truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Now come, Holy Spirit, and convict us, heal us, change us, remake us, encourage us, teach us, whatever the need that we have in this moment. Come, Holy Spirit, and be that for us. You are our comforter, so come and comfort. We invite you to do that. We pray these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, Jehovah Nisi, God whose banner is over us, Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace, Jehovah Uzi, the God who is our strength. We pray these in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.